This evening we're going to talk about being a soldier. And when I think about that idea of being a soldier, I think about battle. I think about being ready to go to battle. And that's what I want to think about this evening, mainly when it comes to being a soldier, is preparing for battle and being a soldier as the kids sing in the Lord's Army. We used to sing that song at Piney Grove when I was a kid. And I want us to think about your ranks and your position and your role in the Lord's Army for the next few minutes. And one of the things about that is maybe tonight you're not in the Lord's Army. Maybe when you think about it, you're like, you know what, I haven't been doing any fighting. I haven't made any stances for the Lord in my home, in my life, in my family, in my career. I show no signs of being a soldier. And then maybe there's others, when you can look at their lives, that maybe you are that person where you say, now they're definitely a soldier for the Lord. You can definitely see things about their life that show they're prepared to go to battle and they're trying to serve the Lord and being a soldier in the Lord's Army. So just think about where you're at tonight throughout this lesson. And the idea here is just making sure that we're fighting for our soul. We're not fighting for our country. We're not fighting for a lot of the things that many people fight for on this earth. We're fighting for our soul. And we're in a battle. We're in a real battle against Satan. And I've picked out three points tonight to help us gauge this battle and this idea of being called to be a soldier. And I hope that you'll really think about these points and apply them and think about your own life. The first one, and this is the passage that probably comes to mind the most popular when it comes to preparing for battle as a soldier. And that's, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. In order to be a soldier for the Lord, the first thing we've got to do is prepare for battle. Prepare for battle. When we go to church, when we go to worship services, you know, I'm using the cliche saying we said today, going to church. When we go to Bible study or worship, what we're doing is, one, we're obeying the commandment to worship God. But two, we're preparing for battle. I had a friend in high school that, as we got older, he really wanted to join the Marines. That was one of his goals. He wanted to be in the Marines so bad. Maybe some of you have served in our armed forces, the Marines, the Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard, Army. Maybe you haven't, but you all understand the concept of serving for your country in a battle. One of the things that he was told is when you go to the Marines, the first thing you're going to do is go to boot camp. And boot camp's going to be rough. It's going to be hard. A lot of people aren't going to get through it. I recently read a book about a guy who was in the Navy, and he was telling about when they were training to be Navy SEALs, how difficult they made it on them, and they basically were trying to get people to tap out, quit. Because if you want to be a Navy SEAL, you've got to really be committed. And what they were doing was looking for ways to get people to say, all right, I wanted to be a Navy SEAL, but after all this, I'm done, this is enough, and there's a bell right here. And at any time, they're putting your face saying, Steve, ring this bell. Just tap it, and you're out, and you're fine. You can go live a happy, peaceful life, and you don't have to put up with all this anymore. But they know there were some there that were trying to call out the ones who weren't fully invested and committed. Well, as we try to serve God and be Christians, we go on Wednesday nights to Bible study, Sunday mornings to worship and Bible study, Sunday evenings to worship. Maybe you have Bible studies in your home, or you attend gospel meetings, or you study on your own. We're developing, we're trying to grow, we're practicing for what? We're practicing for those big, real moments in life where temptations happen, where tests come our way, where we're going to be at battle. And what's on the line is our soul. So coming to church is like that basic training or that boot camp, that study, that preparation. But the real battle hasn't happened yet. So if I'm trying to prepare to be a soldier in this country we live in our armed forces, we do all that, and then when boot camp's over, when preparation's over, and now it's time to go to war, is the hard part over with? Is that the hard part, all that boot camp? No, that's not the hard part. Because all that was practice to get ready for now. I'm going to Afghanistan, I'm going to the Middle East, and now there's bombs going off, there's shooting, there's things happening. And all of a sudden, this just got real. Boot camp was hard, it was a struggle, and I've never been there. I can't say that I know all this. I'm just basically what I understand. But now it's real. And that's the way sin is. That's the way preparing as a soldier of Christ is. I've got my Bible and it says do this and don't do this and this is how I should live and this is what we shouldn't do on this earth. This is how you're saved. This is how you get to heaven. But then when I go to work tomorrow and somebody says something smart aleck and it's like I want to say something smart aleck back, or all of a sudden I have this lust of the flesh or this desire to fulfill some lust of the flesh or the pride of life, all of a sudden now it's real. Now this is what I've been preparing for as a soldier. This is the moment. The easy part of going to church, which some people struggle with, and Bible study, which some people struggle with, now it's real. Now it's, am I ready for this moment of battle? To say no when I need to say no. To do things when it's hard. To stand up for what's right when it's not popular. Now it's real. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 6. What we've got here is Paul talking to the Ephesians. We're going to start at verse 10, and I see that it's covered up on the projector here. We're going to read through verse 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Which leads into Steve's lesson tomorrow, right? The saint there. So what we see here is, if you see these images on the board, these illustrations, you've got this idea of truth. Well, if I'm going to do this right, I've got to know what the truth is. Righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, the Word of God, and then it ends with praying always. And then we see this idea of a physical illustration of a soldier decked out in their armor. Well, it's real easy to know, all right, well, if today I go off to work and I leave my shield at home and I leave my sword at home and I leave my helmet at home, but maybe I bring half my armor. Well, I'm half covered, so there's some weaknesses that are showing today. Versus preparing with all this armor and being fully prepared. And that's what a lot of times where we fail as soldiers is we halfway prepare. We don't have all the armor that we need. There's a few chinks in the armor, if you will. A few things that may be missing. So we need to make sure the first step of being a soldier here is that we prepare for battle. You know, we don't run out to battle unprepared. What does Jesus say in the New Testament? The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I might can answer every question right. If you gave me a test and say, all right, here's your test on right and wrong. Should you steal? No. Should you kill? No. How do you handle the situation with gentleness and long-suffering and patience? But then the next day, I have an opportunity maybe to do some of those things or not do something I should, and all of a sudden it's a lot more real. Well, is anybody looking? Will anybody know? How can I? This is a lot harder now that it's happening. Right? Meredith says, look, I made a homemade pie for tonight. And you're like, well, I'm not supposed to be eating pie. And he's like, I'm not going to eat any, Meredith. And then you get there and you look and you're like, oh, man, I got to have a piece of this. You see, it's a lot more difficult. And that's how it is. We prepare, and it's easy to give the right answers. It's easy to say, this is what I'm going to do. This is not what I'm... But in the moment, it's like that shell shock. You know, a soldier gets out to battle and they thought they were ready. And then they hear the guns and they see the bombs and they just freeze and panic sets in. And here it's a little different because what happens is sometimes we forget the truth. We forget our faith. We forget who we're supposed to be. We forget all these things we prepared with. And all of a sudden we're making decisions without counsel, without using the Word of God to drive our decisions, to guide us as a navigator of our choices. We're losing these things because we've forgotten our preparation or we haven't prepared enough, right? We just got back from a vacation a few weeks ago where we went down to the beach. And one of the things about the beach that's different from here is, I don't know why, but you can get sunburnt real easy. My ears, I can feel it on my ears. And here I'm outside all the time and I don't feel it, but down there it's like my ears burn and I feel it. So the first day, Monica's like, make sure you know you... Everybody's got sunscreen on your face, ears. And the second day, it's like, man, I didn't put sunscreen on my ears yesterday. And I know I didn't because I feel it. I wasn't thinking. I wasn't fully prepared. And that's what happens so many times. Is, do you love the Lord? Yes. Do you worship God? Yes. How much are you really studying God's Word to get prepared? How much are you truly trying to make decisions that are life-changing, putting off that old man, putting on that new man that we see in Ephesians 4? Because that's what a soldier's got to do. They've got to be fully prepared for the battle, the real life simulations and situations. It's not just pretend. We come here and we say all these things, we know what God wants, and then we go out in life and just do whatever. It's just chaotic. That's not preparing for battle. So if we want to be a good soldier, I hope that we've got our minds turning a little bit. The first thing we've got to do is we've got to prepare. That means we've got to study God's Word. We've got to assemble with the saints. We've got to let it meditate in our heart. We've got to desire that, to want it. We've got to be committed to that. But I tell you something else that's real important that gets so many. For those that do prepare and that make up their mind that they want to be a soldier in the Lord's army, the next thing is this. In order to be a soldier for the Lord, we can't get distracted by the things of the world. Does that make sense? I used this image I found where you've got, obviously, an illustration of a soldier. And what's he doing? Well, he's distracted. A lot of people are distracted by phones these days. So I'm sure it even happens, Stacy, if we had guerrilla warfare and people had phones, maybe it would be a distraction. I don't know. But you can see the illustration. How many people love God and they want to get to heaven, but somewhere along the way they get distracted? I mean, it happens to the best of us, right? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul, as he's talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, notice what he says in verses 3 through 5. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness," and listen to these next words, "as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." There's the literal word we're using in our lesson. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully." Just imagine you were some, I guess the best example is maybe you're the president of the United States or somebody famous, and you've had hired security to protect you. And just imagine your security is a couple of people and they're, you know, they've got their guns, they're strong, they look like security. Whatever you would imagine as security, they look the part. But then you're walking through the streets and they're supposed to be watching out for you, or you're at your home and they're supposed to be outside protecting your home from crazy fans or people trying to get to you, and they were asleep, or they didn't show up, or they had something on their mind and they weren't fully... Do you feel like you'd feel safe in that? And here, we're supposed to be focused on serving God, seeking Him first, Matthew 6:33, loving Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, the greatest commandment that Jesus said in the New Testament. We're supposed to be that committed soldier, and our cause on this earth is we're pilgrims. This world is not our home. We're soldiers. We're fighting a battle against Satan. We're trying to help as many of our brethren as we can during this battle. But yet so many people, it's like, that guy's supposed to be over here protecting my right side, and she's supposed to be over here protecting my left from people that would come over. And you look over, and it's like, they're not even serious about the battle. And as we can understand the illustration in the sense of a true war, on-the-ground combat, it's the same spiritually. We're supposed to have brothers and sisters who are teaching Bible classes, or are invested in the work of the local church, or care for the church, and it's like, well, they're not even supporting the gospel meeting. They're not supporting our work. They don't want to participate in our studies and our Bible. Why? Because there's so many things in this world that have them distracted. There's so many things that have their mind that we can't get them to church. We can't get them to participate in our worship services, much less anything outside of our normal meets, because they're distracted. If you notice that last part, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive for masteries, he's not crowned unless he strive lawfully. We need to make sure that we're striving with all we've got diligently to serve God and be a good soldier, not distracted by things of this world. Another reason why is what Peter says about Satan. In 1 Peter chapter 5 at verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Do you think there's times in battle where if one country's fighting another and their soldiers are on the ground and the other soldiers are trying to kill them soldiers, they're trying to take their lives, and they fall asleep, they're going to say, well, you know, we got a timeout. They're sleeping right now. We're not going to kill any of them. We're not going to take any of their hostages. We're not going to take their equipment. We're just going to leave them alone. They call it a timeout. Real war don't work like that. And Satan doesn't either. as soon as he sees somebody that's slipping a little, that may be falling away, that's not putting out, he's going to swoop in and get them all the way and get them out of church, away from other Christians. He's trying to get them to give up their faith and to make decisions to get them even further away from God. He wants us distracted. He wants us to lose sight of the goal. In Colossians chapter 3, look with me there. Paul, this time talking to Colossians, the first three verses of Colossians 3 couldn't be said any better when it comes to not getting distracted. He says, if then you have been risen with Christ, I want to say that that's saying you are a soldier. You're a soldier that's gotten into this battle. You've been risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection, that's a key word here, on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. There's a lot of people that have been risen with Christ, but their affection is on things of this earth. Their true love, their true passion is not on things above, it's on things of this earth. Well, how do we know that? We can see how distracted they are in this battle. Because God is not first in their life. The work of the church doesn't mean a lot to them. Their brothers and sisters in Christ don't mean a lot to them. Why? Because this isn't the most important thing. This isn't the battle they're most concerned with. What about us? Are we distracted? Are we soldiers that are focused and committed on the goal? Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. John talks about some things that distract many. And maybe you can understand this because it's been a plague for you at times. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. You know, there's some things on this earth that I want. There's things I would like to do. I understand the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. I understand it. Because that human nature built into our minds, we can get that. But you have to make a decision that says, do I really want those things that are going to pass by, that are temporary, that usually the satisfaction is very short, the reward is very small, or do I want to seek for something bigger? Do I want to try to get to heaven? Do I want to please God and be with Him eternally, or do I just want it now? And as a soldier, we're serving for something bigger. It's selfless. It's making sacrifice. Real soldiers make sacrifices. They leave their families for periods of time. They may give their life or part of their body or their mind for the battle that they're in for their country or for the people they're trying to protect. It's the same here. If you're going to be a soldier in the Lord's army, you're going to have to make sacrifices. You're going to have to make some tough choices and decisions. You're going to have to give some of these things up. You're not going to be able to fulfill some of these lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, or the pride of life. Because you've chosen to be that true and faithful soldier for this battle. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, notice what the Hebrew writer says. Hebrews 12, at verse 1. When you think about the idea of being committed and focused and not distracted, he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Set aside these weights that would cause it. In other words, hey, there's something distracting me. I got to put it down. I'll be watching television at home, and my phone will be over here. I've got three books over here. Monica will tell you. I've got something right here. I've got a book right here. I've got my phone right here. I've got another book. I've got the remote. It's like I'm trying to do four things at once. Maybe you understand that completely. And so I'll be watching the show that I really want to see that I've DVR'd because otherwise I'm not really usually watching anything. But I want to see this or I wouldn't have it recorded. So I turn it on. Well, then somebody calls or texts. I got my phone. It's still running. I'm picking up a book and it's still. And all of a sudden it's like, man, this has been running for 30 minutes. And I don't even know what happened. I mean, I'm reading a book and then somebody starts talking. So I'm still reading. I don't know how my mind does it, but you're still reading, but you're listening to them. So you're like, I just read two pages. I don't even know what I read. I know I read over the words, but I don't even remember. I was not comprehending it. And that's how people live their lives. It's like, I want to serve God. I want to be a Christian. And it's important or you wouldn't have it on. And most shows I want to watch aren't that important. I just want to see them. But in this scheme of things, it is important. And you know that and you want to be a soldier. But when you start thinking about your job and your relationships and school and your entertainment and your pleasure and the things that you need to get done, the things you want to do, and all of a sudden it's like the things that require me to be a soldier for Christ that need to happen at the local church, in my home, in my life, they're getting skipped over because of all these things that have me distracted. And I've got all these weights I'm trying to carry while I'm trying to be a Christian, and it's slowing me down, and it's hurting the church, and it's hurting my family, and it's like, get rid of that stuff. You can't do it all. You still have to provide for your family. You still have responsibilities on this earth. But there's some things we can lay aside, especially if they're harming our spiritual life. And that's where a lot of Christians miss it. They see everybody else at school and at work doing all these things. It's like, we've got to do these things. We've got to go on 6 vacations. We've got to dress like the world. We've got to talk like the world. We've got to be engaged in stuff. And then they find other people that call themselves Christians and they're like, well, they're Christians and they're doing it, so I guess we can pull it off. No. We're to be a peculiar people, set apart, different. Because this battle is for our soul. This isn't for a trophy. This isn't for a prize. This isn't for a reward. This is for heaven. This is for getting to be heaven eternally and not being lost eternally. So in order to be a soldier for the Lord, we can't be distracted. And I'm afraid a lot of people, they truly do try to prepare, but then they get distracted. So if you got past the preparing part, don't get distracted. We've got to prepare correctly, and we can't get distracted along the way. But I want to end maybe where we should have started, and I say that because I did it purposely. In order to be a soldier for the Lord, the first thing you've got to do is enlist in the Lord's army. That's the first thing you've got to do. So tonight, I want you to ask yourself, are you a child of God? Have you been born again? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you enlisted in the Lord's army by rendering obedience to the gospel? That's the first step of being a soldier. And if you've done that, I challenge you to go back to these last 2 points. How have you been preparing for the battles in your life, the tests in your life, the trials in your life? And then, have you been distracted? In your life right now, if you were looking honestly at your life, would you say, wow, I have not been a good soldier. My team can't depend on me very much. If it's up to us, then we're going to lose this battle. They can't rely on me. Their life is in danger because I have not been much help at all. In Acts chapter 2, if you'll turn with me there, I want to start the first gospel sermon here where Peter and the apostles are here. They're talking mainly to the ones who have crucified Jesus. And in the sermon, after they're finished, you hear the response of the crowd in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. When I was in high school, the coaches would come around, I remember this every year, and they'd say, let's get all the boys that are interested in playing football to meet in the lunchroom, or all the boys interested in playing basketball in the lunchroom, or baseball. And they'd get you all in there, and they'd say, all right, for football, basically, if you wanted to play, you're on the team. For the other sports, you had to try out because there's only so many spots. But they'd get us in there, and they'd give this motivational, you know, we're going to whoop everybody that we play. We're going to be the best team this school's ever had. You're going to love it, make memories of your life. You know, you can imagine, Stevie. You can imagine the rallies they give down at Haleville. And so they're trying to fire everybody up to play, you know. And every boy in that lunchroom is like, I'm playing football. I'm playing, you know, I'm trying out for basketball. I'm going to go home. I'm starting to run 3 miles every day. Macy this summer. We're practicing softball. We're hitting grounders. We're hitting volleyball. You know, we're into it, right? And then what happens? You give it a few hours and it's like, ugh, I don't know if I want to run 2 miles. And then you get that practice schedule like, be here for workouts at 6 every morning. It's like, nope, I'm sleeping in this summer. You know, that's, you got to be kidding me. It's 100 degrees out there right now. I'd rather sit in this air conditioner. What happens? All of a sudden that desire starts to fade. And with Christians, that's what happens. Everybody's ready to enlist when they hear the sermon preached. You know, we're in. Sign me up. I want to get that. And then all of a sudden you start looking at all the other things, the cost of being a Christian. The things that true soldiers have to go through for our country and in the Lord's army. And you start thinking, that's why not everybody's a soldier. That's not why everybody's ready for battle. Because all of a sudden it makes you think there's a lot more to this. And I got to believe there was a lot more than 3,000 people there. But that's how many wanted to enlist. What about us? One, have you enlisted? And two, if you have, where do you stand right now with that commitment? Go with me to Acts chapter 9. You know, Saul of Tarsus was a thorn in the side of the church and Christians and Christ for a long time. And in Acts chapter 9, I'm going to read verses 3 through 6. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would you have me to do? That's the same response we've seen in Acts 2. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told what you must do. Now skip with me down to Acts chapter 22. Acts 22, and we're going to start this time at verse 10. Now, he's just rehearsed this story, and then a little later on he says, I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go to Damascus, and it shall be told you all the things that are appointed for you to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And the same hour I looked up unto him. And he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you, that you should know his will, and see the just one, and should hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You know, a lot of people in this world today that believe in God will teach all these ways to enlist in the Lord's army. They'll show you, but there's really only one way, and that's through Christ. That's through God's Word and His way. There's no other way but through Christ and through His Word. So I encourage you tonight to think about this. Have you truly enlisted in the Lord's army? And if you have, where does that commitment stand? Have you enlisted? Maybe tonight you can sit there and say, you know what, I have not enlisted in the Lord's army. I'm sure of it. Or maybe you can sit there and say, I'm not sure. Or maybe you can look there and say, you know what, I enlisted long ago, but you couldn't tell it by my life. You couldn't tell it by my choices, by the way I'm living. And I encourage you to rethink that. If you are enlisted in the Lord's army, make sure that you're committed, that you're a true soldier trying to fight the good fight. And that you're not distracted, that you are constantly preparing, like we see in Ephesians 6, with those tools that God has given us to prepare with. Make sure that you're preparing fully. Preparation happens all the time. Steve asked me about basketball earlier. You know, no good athlete takes a year off or 2 years off or time off and says, well, I'm not going to practice my craft at all. They practice all the time. They're dedicated. Think about these Olympians in their respected sports. That's all they do. They eat and drink certain things to prepare their bodies, and they live their life preparing for that sport that they're dedicated to. As Christians, we've got to be dedicated to what we're doing. That's being soldiers for the Lord. That's serving God. And then finally, let's ask ourselves, has the world distracted us from the commitment that we need to have as soldiers in the Lord's army? Even the best of us sometimes get distracted. I mean, it's just the truth. We see it in the Scripture. We see some of God's greatest servants get distracted at times and make poor decisions and lose sight of the major battle. You know, when Jesus was here, He said, I'm here to do my Father's will. I'm about my Father's business. He never got distracted and He never sinned, thankfully for us. But you know, we serve a God that loves us and cares for us. And at times, if we've been distracted or haven't been committed, He's willing to forgive us. He's willing to forgive us and allow us to fix things and to get back in that fight, to get back in that battle before it's too late. If you're here tonight and you've never enlisted in the Lord's army, I would love to have more brothers and sisters in Christ, more fellow servants that are in the battlefield with me. And I want to encourage you to make that decision. If you've done that, but you can look in your life and say, well, you know what? I've enlisted, but I've been a very useless soldier. I have not made hardly any sacrifices, any change. My level of commitment has been as poor as it can be, but I'm ready to change that. I realize how serious this is. I realize how needed I am in this battle, and I want to make some changes. You know, when David went to battle Goliath, he wasn't physically prepared. He didn't have on all that armor, but he said he was doing this in the name of his Lord and that God was going to be with him. And if you're here tonight, I challenge you to have the attitude that David had, that faith to say, I want to serve my God and I trust in Him. Tonight, if we can help you become a soldier and enlist in that army, won't you let it be known? And if you've done that but you haven't been faithful, committed soldier that the Lord needs, I challenge you to make the change in your life necessary and encourage me throughout my life to do the same. Let's encourage each other all the time and motivate each other to be faithful soldiers for the Lord. If you've got a need tonight and we can help you, please let it be known as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.